Chris, how are you?
Morning, Tony. Good.
Are you looking forward to heading up to Mackinac?
Well, yeah, it's going to be an interesting one, a little different this year, I think.
Well, tell me in the past what's going on with this policy conference on the island and what you expect may change this year.
Well, there's always been a lot of schmoozing and a lot of talk and a lot of big ideas. I remember last year Newt Gingrich spoke there. Now, Newt Gingrich, the conservative that he is you would think not necessarily that friendly with that crowd, even though it's largely a Republican and business crowd. He's to the right of them. But he gave a speech about taxes and education and making Detroit a completely tax-free zone, and everybody was buzzing about it and talking, this guy's got some really great ideas. Nothing came of it. And this has been the theme year after year from this conference. Well, now we've got a governor who's sort of put his imprint on this conference a little more than in the past, and it's going to be a brisker kind of an agenda. Things are going to move along, and he says, and they say, we want to actually get some action out of what we talk about this year. So we'll see.
All right. Well, you wrote an interesting story, Rick Snyder's Upbeat Forum on Mackinac. So what's he going to do to change things specifically?
On the island, well, he's participating in several events. Interestingly, he's going to be on a panel discussing urban city issues with Detroit Mayor Dave Bing and Grand Rapids Mayor George Hartwell. Now, for the first time, they've invited quite a few West Michigan business and, obviously, in this case, political leaders to attend a conference that's largely been a Southeast Michigan affair. So they're trying to make it a little more statewide. Snyder says he doesn't have a particular agenda on urban cities. That's what he wants to talk about and come up with some ideas. And he'll be giving a speech, of course, and there's one other event that he'll be participating in. He'll have a bunch of CEOs at the governor's residence for a dinner one night. He'll be talking with media. He'll be there all 3 days, and that's not necessarily usual for governors at this event.
You know, Chris, what I find interesting about the bringing the west side of the state into the mix a little bit more is when you look at the struggles that the east part of the state face, and then every time I go to Grand Rapids, I'm simply amazed by all the construction, the growth. That city reminds me a lot of what's happened in Columbus, Ohio, as well as Indianapolis. It's just blown up.
Yeah, it's almost like two different states. Almost two different countries sometimes when you go from east side to west side of the state. They still have problems. I mean, unemployment is a statewide problem, but less so in areas of the west. I mean, you have areas in western Michigan where the population was growing so much that the last 10 years that they couldn't build schools fast enough. Well, that slowed down some. But they say they still share some problems. I think in Snyder's part, he's tried to bring the different sides together politically and, in this case, geographically. So I think expanding it to a statewide forum is a significant move.
It's interesting to watch how politics works. When you look at this bridge situation, you get one side where damage control is in full effect from the Maroons. We've had Matt Maroon on the program. You see all the billboards and the advertisement that they've put out trying to discuss, you know, we don't need another bridge. We need more traffic on the current bridge. And then you go to the other side and you see these folks calling the Maroons money-grubbing business folks who can't keep up with the times with their old bridge, and we need a new bridge for more commerce and to get our agricultural goods out. So what's your take on that? Do you think we need another bridge?
Well, you know, you see differing statistics. I mean, projecting what traffic is going to be 10, 15 years from now is always an iffy thing. And, yeah, there are studies that show that there's going to be increased traffic with more commerce. The Maroons point out that the traffic has dropped in the past, what, 5-6 years, particularly truck traffic on their bridge, I think. But what's interesting, what's really driving this whole issue more than people realize, is the Canadian government. The Canadian government wants a second bridge downriver from the Ambassador Bridge. And the reason they want that is because truck traffic gets tied up going through Windsor. If they built a bridge further south, they would have a direct link to Highway 401, which goes across through Ontario, Quebec, etc. That's why they want that. They want an increased flow of truck traffic and commerce, and that's where the projections say you'll have more traffic coming because it'll be an easier drive from the freeways in Michigan I-75 right into Ontario. That's a bigger factor than people realize. And the Maroons keep saying that they have an agreement with the Canadian government. Nobody's seen an agreement with the Canadian government. The Canadians want that bridge down there, and that's a huge part of this.
And, Chris, I asked you the wrong question. I shouldn't have asked you, do you think we need a new bridge? If I had to bet you a cup of coffee, do you think we'll get a new one?
I think we will. There are so many business and political forces on the one side in support of this bridge, including the governor. Now, let's face it, the governor surprised a lot of us by getting a budget and this tax overhaul done as soon as he could. There are a few legislators that are reluctant about this bridge for various reasons. But right now, I think with the momentum that he has and the amount of support that he has, and we'll see that on the island this week, by the way. That'll be a major issue, I think. I think that the momentum is that way.
Chris, in talking with Carol Kane this morning, she mentioned her interview with Bob Datto from Oakland County. And we talk about Detroit on the program because what happens down there affects us and usually costs us if they're in trouble. And Mr. Datto seems to think that there's still a lot of dangerous work to be done there.
Oh, sure. It's a very treacherous time for Detroit, both the city and the school district. Make no mistake about it, they're in a very fragile state there. You've already seen the mayor, rattling sores about getting an emergency manager in that. The finances are serious. I mean, the loss of population is very serious. I think he's absolutely right.
It seems like we're making progress in so many areas of the state, and there we're almost spinning our wheels. We've got a new mayor in place. We've had help with the school district, but it seems like the school board is really hampering things there.
Well, the whole sort of economic cultural system down there has been in a downward spiral. I mean, you've heard people say anybody who can get out of Detroit will. Well, to a large degree, we've seen that in the last 10 years. I mean, that a 25% loss in population is astounding, by any measure across the United States. People saw that number and their jaws dropped. So the question is, how do you stop that spiral from getting worse or at least stabilize it right now? That's where they are.
All right, Chris.
They're trying to stabilize a very serious situation.
And Chris Kristoff from the Detroit Free Press. Go to freep.com, and you can get all his great articles as he covers what's going on at the state capitol as well as anyone. Chris, we'll see you on the island.
See you there, Tony. Thanks.